One respected theoretical physicist that engaged in a lot of out-of-the-box thinking was one John Archibald Wheeler at Princeton University. In 1955, he devised a new way to view space-time on very tiny quantum-level scales. This comes from the fact that we do not yet have a theory of quantum gravity. We really only have Einstein's view of gravity, and that doesn't really explain what gravity is, rather how it behaves at large scales. And that in turn has led a number of physicists to search for a quantum theory of gravity counterpart to Einstein. The problem is that without a quantum theory of gravity, it's impossible to determine what space-time looks like at quantum scales. But the thing is, there isn't any evident reason why space-time would be smooth at all scales. It may not be. It just seems so at our scales, and Wheeler advanced a way for that to work. Here, space-time in the world of the small consists of small regions that constantly change. Both time and space actually behave something like a foam, hence the term quantum foam. In Wheeler's framework, he argues that the uncertainty principle may imply that over tiny distances and very brief time intervals, fluctuations occur that when seen from a larger scale, gives it the resemblance of foam. One prediction of this hypothesis is the result of this would be particles, known as virtual particle pairs, constantly being created and destroyed. Interestingly, a mysterious effect known as the Casimir effect may actually be caused by these particle pairs, giving a line of evidence in support of Wheeler. The Casimir effect is weird, but it's real. If you suspend two metal plates parallel to each other in a vacuum and leave a small amount of space between them, the two plates will draw slightly towards each other, as though a force is pushing them together. To put it another way, the empty space between the plates has a lower energy density than the space outside, causing a force. It may be Wheeler's virtual particles causing this effect, evidence at least for virtual particles in general. Interestingly, this effect actually can be used to generate energy. But as of right now, the amount of energy is too small to be significantly useful so far as we know. But the effect is real. The quantum foam concept is further bolstered by experiments done in magnetism and an odd astronomical observation taken in 2005. This was a strange one. The observation was of a blazar, and what happened was that the detectors showed that some of the photons were actually arriving at different times, corresponding to different energy levels. This should not be because special relativity presents the speed of light, and can be proven to be so in the lab as a constant. All photons travel at the speed of light, but with this blazar observation that didn't seem to be the case. Something was slowing some of them down. A mystery indeed that's still open and unsolved about that observation. Here the quantum foam offers a possible explanation in that space being grainy might cause variations in the speed of light, creating the effect of slowing some of it down. But no other experiment has confirmed this, and to this day we have no idea what went on with that blazar observation. Another contradiction came from observations of polarized light from gamma ray bursts, and again, nothing really conclusive came out of it either way. What's not well known is how large these fluctuations can be. Should they actually be occurring? That photons could be slowed down based on their wavelength is problematic because it would represent a violation of Lorentz invariance, which is simply the principle that the laws of physics are the same for all observers, regardless of their relative motion, which is a large underlying part of special relativity. Astronomers searched for this by studying the light from quasars, and no evidence for it was found. Another effect of the quantum foam would be that it would set a limit on the accuracy that you could measure long distances at. Photons should diffuse randomly through the foam, not unlike light scattering and diffusing through a fog bank. Yet, that's not seen. Numerous telescopes have observed objects at great distances with no apparent degradation of the image. But this only means that space-time has to be smooth, down to a certain degree, 1,000 times smaller than a proton. Which means that if the fluctuations are there, they aren't large. It does not disprove Wheeler's idea, just constrains it. So Wheeler's quantum foam remains contentious, and is one of those strange situations in science where there is contradictory evidence for and against a prediction. But that's not the only strange thing hidden at this level of the universe. In addition to virtual particles popping in and out of existence, there may also be virtual black holes. A virtual black hole would be an extremely tiny micro black hole that can pop into existence as a result of quantum fluctuations. These black holes would emerge from the foam and act as the gravitational version of an electron-positron virtual particle pair. They would have about the mass of the Planck mass. This is the upper bound for the mass of a particle, but can be seen as the very lowest bound for the smallest possible black hole. The reason you can't have a black hole smaller than this is because of Hawking radiation. It's too small to emit any. Thus, it cannot evaporate and become smaller. Virtual black holes would exist for almost no time before popping out of existence. Hawking radiation is related here. This is where a virtual particle pair appears right on the event horizon of a black hole. So the two particles pop into existence. One drops into the event horizon and is lost, and the other remains part of the universe and escapes. The free particle can then no longer pop out of existence. These particles left outside are known as Hawking radiation. The problem is that the particles had to borrow energy from space to appear, and when they disappear, normally they repay that. But that doesn't happen here. The black hole is then stuck with a bill and pays that debt in evaporation. As that constantly happens, the black hole evaporates over immense amounts of time. A solar mass black hole would take one with 64 zeros behind it, years, to evaporate. There is some evidence that this actually may happen, though it's yet to be seen in a black hole in space. As a result, virtual particles can separate and become real particles in this way. It's not something from nothing. The energy is robbed from the quantum vacuum, but it's an interesting idea. But there is another aspect to all of this hidden within the question of quantum fluctuations. It's the question of whether the Big Bang was actually a quantum fluctuation in the vacuum that got rather out of hand and persistent, and that we are here as a result of it. In 1973, Edward Tryon at Columbia University proposed a rather odd idea that he'd been working on for some time. Indeed, sometime around 1969, he was attending a lecture by another physicist and blurted out that maybe the universe is a quantum fluctuation in the vacuum. There was much laughter and everybody thought it was a joke, but it actually wasn't. Tryon said he was a little embarrassed and dropped the matter, but his work in 1973 solidified it. The idea is to apply quantum mechanics to the beginning of the universe. This is currently difficult because relativity and quantum mechanics so far do not meet. Yet they are both valid, but there is a missing puzzle piece between them. So the quantum world is imprecise. Particles are really more like smears across space-time and cannot be fully predicted as to their conditions because they are basically fuzzy. Tryon thought to apply that also to energy and time. The point is, there is no zero energy state for a particle. There is just the lowest possible energy state. Under certain circumstances, that energy can fluctuate. So with that happening in a quantum vacuum, though there is really no such thing as a true vacuum, quantum mechanics forbids a true nothing, Tryon noted that because of E equals mc squared, matter and energy are equivalent, that means a vacuum energy fluctuation can be converted to matter. In other words, the virtual particles. Then he applied that to the universe and saw that the universe actually could have been an energy fluctuation emerging out of the quantum vacuum. This was actually a remarkable hypothesis because it actually implies that the universe did not originate from nothing. Most ideas before that had posited that the Big Bang had come out of nowhere and that there was no point asking what happened before it because that lay beyond the abilities of science to determine if there was anything at all. But quantum mechanical nothingness isn't absolute nothingness, and the universe emerged from the vacuum as a fluctuation that happened to persist for billions of years without disappearing. In other words, you don't get something out of nothing in physics, and this idea preserves that. Ultimately, however, it's incomplete because what it doesn't explain is what in fact set the laws of physics as they are, so the whole thing remains an open question, and no doubt will be subject to further revision. This sort of thing is an ever-changing landscape, but it is at least interesting that we might be here simply because of a tiny quantum fluctuation in a vacuum persisting for an unusually long time. I wonder if it could someday simply pop out of existence. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently bringing the It's Turtles All the Way Down hypothesis into the 21st century. What's outside the universe, you ask? Nothing but turtles. And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.